Today on a shocking episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, that 7 out of 8 dentists agree will help prevent tooth decay and cavities. When two cousins get together for a sleepover, the visiting cousin discovers that there is something or someone on the property that knows they are new to the area, but also may or may not want them there. That story and much more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd love to hear them. Of course, you can also write it on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email us your audio file. You can send it to me, Tony, at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want all the access to the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more, all of it commercial-free, check out ghostpodcast.com. or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, the whole archive. Like I said, it's all commercial free. It's the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories. So if your goal in life right now is to listen to ghost stories 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from now through October 31st, actually, it'd probably go longer than that. You'd probably go into the new year. You can go there and start listening to me 24 hours a day, and you'll probably get up to Easter if you listen 24/7 with all that content. That's a scary thought, isn't it?
It's very scary. 24 hours a day of Tony. I mean, I think that's the weird thing. And I know I've mentioned this before, but one of the jobs I have is I do radio shows for various stations, mm-hmm. and one of the stations that I'm on, you're also on. As the voice person for the station.
Oh, I am, aren't I? I forgot I was the voice person.
That's right. So it's me, and I do my little radio shtick for, you know, a minute, minute and a half. And then I go into the commercial break, and between me and the commercial break, it's you coming on doing your little thing. So I get to work with you pretty much every day of the week.
It's kind of funny. It's like all these years later, it's like we're back together, working together again, doing radio stuff. It's fun.
What would you be? I was going to ask you this. I mean, we were kind of reminiscing about stuff off the air about radio. What if you weren't doing this? If you weren't doing the podcast and all that, what would you be doing?
I mean, if I didn't get out of it, I'd probably still be on the air somewhere, or doing that. I mean, but I don't know. I mean, I think I would have gotten out of broadcasting in general if podcasting didn't exist. I don't think I would have stuck around in radio to this day anymore. Probably just because I would have been forced out basically because there's just not a lot of jobs anymore. I don't know, maybe something in cooking. I would probably be focusing something over in that area. Probably in an entertainment way though, probably more so online and put a lot of effort there. That'd be my guess if I was not doing this anymore.
But got to think of the next big thing.
I'm doing this till I'm dead. This is it. I got my thing, and we got a new podcast. Have you heard about this yet? Have I told you about this one?
I don't think so, no.
My Crazy Family. yes, me and Stacy Cole are hosting that one, and I don't know if you know Stacy. She was in Wisconsin, the co-host with Callaway on IFC for years. And we've been friends since I worked up there, and she's on True Crime Today as well. But as of this airing, it is in existence. It's out there. So if you have a crazy family story, you'll love this show. It's cathartic. We want to hear your story, no matter how big or small it is, and you can share it over there. It's a lot like this show with ghost stories, but it's crazy family stories.
So does it have to be like just out of this world stuff, or could it be like the deep, dark family secret that nobody knew about?
As of the recording here, we've done 10 episodes. And we've had everything from a mother-in-law that claimed that said to the future daughter-in-law that they will never have the type of connection that she has with her son. And the mother-in-law described it as a vaginal bond.
Oh my God.
To the daughter-in-law, where there was like a serial killer in a family that everyone knew about, but didn't talk about. But there's like normal stuff too, of just like crazy, like get togethers on Easter, or just really dark. I mean, it's dark, it's funny, it's everything. You walk away just laughing at the whole damn thing. but it's great. And if you feel like you have a crazy family, just listen to this podcast. You'll feel much better about yourself, especially going into the holidays. You'll hear it and be like, thank God that's not my family. And as crazy as yours may be, at least it's not some of these. But if you have, maybe you can top some of these. Some people are going to be like, I can one up that shit. So you can write and share your stories. It's the website is crazyfampod.com. But the show is called My Crazy Family. Just search it wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe and help us grow that thing. You're going to it's great. It's really fun.
Cool. I will do that.
Yeah, it's a new one. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to a letter as soon as I get all this pulled up here. I've been noticing, I've been saying this a lot lately, the number 666 popping up around me. Do you ever, do you get that?
You've had that sometimes, several times in your life, though.
Several times in my life or like recently?
Well, it just seems to me like we've had this conversation before, not just doing this podcast, but like maybe when earlier than that.
When I was like a kid? Like
maybe.
Really? That's weird. That's what I'm curious about. Like, I don't remember it. But like this weekend, we did a weekend in Branson with me and my girlfriend and their kids and for Harper's birthday, and came up like we walked into a arcade and it's like how many tickets, you know, are coming out of the big machine? 666. Harper's like, look at that, Dad. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's kind of creepy. And then later in the day, like the bill was like $76.66 or something like that. It was a 666 in the total. I see it a lot, and I don't know what to think of it. I don't know if it just stands.
Sage the hell out of yourself or something, just to be on the safe side.
I don't know if it's just, you know, it stands out to me that much more, and it's just, you know, it comes up as frequently as any other combination, but that one shows, you know, because you're more cognizant of it. I feel like I'm in a really great place in my life right now. I feel like everything's kind of in a good track. Things are feeling good, and I don't know. I don't feel like anything's... But maybe that's why life is being so good to me now, because it's an evil presence that's making life good. And if I if I get rid of the evil presence, then life can go back to being shitty. And and it'll all just be like, well, you know, let's self-loathe and hate ourselves. But I don't know. If that's what it is, I guess I'll go with the evil, because I'm done with the Lutheran guilt. I'm done with all that shit. I agree with
it. Go for it. Yeah, at this point in your life, you got to try something new.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Fuck that. Let's go to our first story. It says, first off, love y'all show. Okay, the story, my cousin had a house in Portland, Tennessee. The house was built in 1831, and I've always heard it was haunted. I did not believe it being a kid, but when I was 15 or so, my cousin asked me to stay the night and see for myself. So I did, and at first, everything was normal. But after supper, I was walking through the kitchen and got a weird, sick feeling when I was beside the basement door. Wanted to open the door, but I also didn't want to. I was just standing there. My cousin didn't. Said, don't go down there. She don't like it. He told me during the Civil War, as troops were moving through from Nashville to the area, people who lived there at the time, her husband was an officer in the Confederate Army and was supposedly told to hide a payroll box, and he went home and buried it in the basement. He later died in the war, and she stayed to protect it. My cousin heard the story after moving in and went to look for it. As he was digging, he said the air got thick and cold, and he heard a voice say, get out, and the lights flickered. He said that was the one time he was scared in the house. So I had no problem staying out of there. Later in the night, we were watching TV, and I thought I would see something or someone walking on the upper walkway by the stairs, but I'd look and see nothing. After we went to bed and I heard furniture sliding on the wood floor downstairs, I just ignored it, tried to go to sleep. Then I woke up around 3 or 4 in the morning and heard loud footsteps by my door and towards the stairs. I thought something was wrong, so I went out to look. When I opened the door, it was dark. I see nobody, but the door beside the stairs was cracked open. That door stayed locked and nobody could open it. I walked closer and I could see a small dresser with a little mirror on it. There was a woman around 30 or 40 with long black hair. She was just brushing her hair, looking into the mirror. I got about 3 feet from the door, and the air got thick and extremely cold. She stopped brushing her hair, looked at me through the mirror, and I heard a quiet voice say, "You're new here. It's late, gotten some sleep, and the door shut by itself." I took off so fast I tripped over my own feet and ran to bed. I was terrified. I didn't sleep at all that night. The next morning when I went downstairs, all the furniture had moved and nobody acted like anything was different. Finally, I asked if they noticed the furniture, and my cousin and his wife laughed and said, "Yeah, we moved it before you got here, and this is the way she likes the furniture." Like it was a normal freak thing. Then he asked me at breakfast if I'd seen or heard anything, and I told him what happened. He said, "Yeah, that's how she'll introduce herself to new people. She knows you know. And you'll see her more often, and not just a shadow." My cousin's wife called Sir Elizabeth. She said it came to her one night in a dream. I said, "As long as you stay out of the basement and don't try to piss her off, she'll hang around. They see her all the time, all over the house, and hear her in the rooms. To me, it's way creepier to live there. But that's my story. I've had several friends not believe me, and I'll take them over for the night, and they'll walk out a believer. Thanks so much. Keep up the amazing stories and content." Thoughts on that one?
I think probably one of the oddest lines I've ever heard in a ghost story, when you see the ghost sitting there brushing their hair and they turn to you. Normally it's like a "get out" or something like that. In this case, it was, "You're new here." That's creepy stuff.
It's a recognition. I kind of like that. Okay, you're new here. How can I ruin your life?
Yeah. Well, as long as, you know, she keeps her space and there's no issues with that, I'm okay with that. I think I could live in a house with spirits as long as things were calm and, you know, and nice and stuff. But you're new here. That's just creepy.
It is creepy. What I would totally do is say really weird shit to people and they're going to think it has something to do with something really dark and demonic. Like, take, for example, when I'm dead and 70 years from now, someone sees me sitting at a table and I turn my head and I look at them and I go, "Bye, Menon." And then they walk away. And they're like, "What the fuck was that? It was this weird chant. Is Menon a demon? What exactly is it?" And it's
I was thinking, "Where's the beef?" or something. Yeah. Like, I was thinking the old commercials. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Something along those lines. You know, it's like zestfully clean. And then you just disappear. And it's like, what the fuck is, what does zestfully clean mean?
And you take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have
exactly
the facts of life.
You do that. Just do, yeah, do old TV show theme songs, all sorts of, like, "Thank you for being a friend." Gone.
That is what I'm going to do now. Poof. I've decided on it. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, just little lines from TV show theme songs of the 80s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. And you'll confuse so many people. You'll be telling the story, and somebody will finally be like, "Holy shit, that's Who's the Boss. There's a time for love and a time for..." Or who can forget, "Some walk by night, some..."
Oh my God.
That was horrible. "Fly by day, moonlighting strangers." And then the ghost of Bruce Willis will come out as well.
Well, I was going to say Al Jarreau is spinning in his grave wherever he's buried. So,
is he dead? Is Al Jarreau dead?
I think Al Jarreau's dead. I can't remember.
I don't know. I think you're right. Let me take a little Google.
American singer.
You're already going to beat me to it.
Yep. 2017.
Oh, so not that long ago then.
No.
Okay. Yeah. That's why I thought maybe he's still alive. Well, there you go. That's your Al Jarreau update for Real Ghost Stories Online on 8/22/22. It is 22/22 today, I realize. The day that we're recording this is going out, though, on the 12th of September. 855-853-4802, our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our next letter. It says, "I grew up in a haunted house in St. Laredo, California. I lived there for over 30 years and had several strange experiences there. My parents moved into the house while my mother was pregnant with me in the late 1970s. She told me of how she walked into an unseen individual while she was washing dishes before my birth, had of seeing an elderly ghost woman standing by my crib and smiling at me while I slept. Apparently, my mother thought of the ghost woman as harmless as she was smiling. When I was 7, I used to wake up early and wait in the hallway next to the water heater until my father would get up before he would go to work. One day, I woke up really early. It must have been around 3 a.m. Did my normal routine, curled up in the blanket. that I bought or brought with me, and the hall light and the bathroom light on when the lights started turning on and off on their own in rhythm with the light switches clicking as they flicked up and down together. I screamed and ran back to my room to hide on my own bed. As time went on, the environment with the house became heavier and heavier. At the time, I attributed this to my father's domineering behavior, but now I'm not so sure. After his suicide when I was 12 in the master bedroom, the increasing oppressive feeling remained. Before his death, there were a few odd things. There was a glowing woman in white that visited my dream, saying, "I know you from before and I'll be there at the end." Before I saw it in the house, there was a tall, dark, shrouded figure that I have continued to see since his death. I honestly believe that this entry or entity is a demon. And there was a vision of my father's death, a vision that included the gun that he used. Things grew worse after his death. The most obvious was the master bedroom was ice cold after that. My mother stopped using the room entirely, trying to understand what was happening. I delved into tracking down every true ghost story I could find. Knowing that others had experienced similar things was reassuring. My brother has had suicide attempts. The boy that lived in the house behind mine also attempted suicide. My mother's boyfriend, after my father's death, drank himself to death. His drinking became worse after he moved into his house. When my mother's present boyfriend described what had happened to him, it became clear that the entity is an obsessive being. It didn't help that I could see the portal that had been torn open with the master bedroom by my father's death, like a gaping wound hanging in the air. It didn't help that I could see some of the things that gathered around the portal. The worst looked like the charred corpse of a child with a bloated belly, though it had never been a child. The front door was unlocked. It has unlocked itself twice to let me into the house. My response would be to say, "Thank you," and go to bed like everything was completely normal. Towards the end, I came home one night and saw what looked like a wisp of webbing move in an updraft through the air. Well, it was still. I walked over, staying in the light to see what was there. A woman composed of black, oily cobwebs was kneeling in the dark looking at me with solid black eyes. Looked like Patty Hearst in an old 1970s newspaper photos. My response was to say, "Yes, you look interesting, but you shouldn't be here." The entity, who was not Patty Hearst, looked disappointed at my general emotionless response. When we moved, we found a new paper behind the bathroom mirror with an article about Patty Hearst kidnapping on the front page. We've since moved out of that house. One of the things that we did as we moved out, have the master bedroom remodeled. To our surprise, my father's blood was still soaked into the floorboards. Instead of replacing the boards, the cleanup crew had only sealed the floor before recarpeting that room. Once the bloodstained subfloor had been replaced, the portal was gone. I avoid that house now, even with the portal gone. I can feel the entity that's still there. I think it wants me to come back. Thoughts on all of that?
Sounds like a movie plot.
It really does.
The question, it seems like there was something there before the father committed suicide. But, and maybe that is what, I guess, kind of pushed him in that direction at some point. Mm-hmm. But it seems like once he did that deed, it just made everything go off the charts. And again, it comes down to, did he create the energy in that house that affected other people and affect the space? Or was there something there that affected him and his energy just kept adding to it? It's like chicken or egg on that one.
Yeah, 100%. I was just going to say that. And it makes you wonder. I mean, I wonder this a lot. And I talk to, when I do interviews on The Grave Talks, I ask investigators kind of that question a lot too, in different ways of, you know, is this something where, what was this energy here that caused this horrible thing to happen and insert horrible thing here? Or was this just, you know, the work of the person who was there? Because there's certainly people who can just be in very bad places and do very bad things. But I think that creates bad energy that can then live on as well and then influence others. It's just a matter of, I think, sometimes tracing back to where does it all start.
Yeah. And sometimes it's plain in our faces of what happened. I mean, sometimes it's not stuff that's paranormal that happened to that individual that made them do this horrible deed, but things that happened in their life that created who they are. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, you could call the whole string of events some sort of connective energy between all of it, whether it was the fact when they were little, they were abused or they had bad times in school or this happened or that happened. But, you know, whether it's paranormal or if it's like everyday stuff that happens to us sometimes, it does create who we are and who we become.
What are your thoughts on the idea here that the portal was, because it's almost implied that the portal was created by the dad killing himself and like something was kind of torn open there. Is that what creates a portal? Someone who willingly or something like that, you know, tears themselves or propels themselves into the other side. It's an interesting thought. I could see it being done very cinematically well, where it's like it's a tear in society where or life for what the plans for that person are because they voluntarily pulled themselves out of it. Would, you know, could that be how a portal is opened?
I think that's a good point. I tend to think portals happen because of very large events, either positive things or bad things. And so in this case, maybe the bad event of her father committing suicide was enough to create this portal. But I've also heard of and seen portals in gardens before and in fields and flowers and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know that it's necessarily has to be a horrible event for a portal to be created, but I do think it's some sort of event of great magnitude, either good or bad.
So what you're saying to me right now is that when after the show went off the air and they decided to have a reunion, Growing Pains created a portal because it was that good of an event when they made the reunion shows.
But the question is, was it really a good event? Come on, let's be honest. Those reunion shows are never that great.
Hey, anytime. You can get Jennifer Warrens, and was it Bill Medley on this?
No.
Who was it?
I was just going to ask you who it was. BJ Thomas.
BJ Thomas, yes, yes. And it was actually, for those of you playing along at home with radio hit songs, it was actually a song on the radio as well.
Yes, it was released as a single.
That charted. As was Cheers.
Yes. And a lot of songs back then were, though, too.
They were, yeah.
Hill Street Blues was a show that the song became a hit on the radio. I mean, it just,
yeah,
that's what happened.
The song did better than the TV show on Hill Street Blues.
At first, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I'm listening to a audiobook right now that you probably enjoy, James Burroughs. It's his, directed by James Burroughs, and he talks about behind the scenes of everything from Cheers to Frasier to Taxi to all that stuff. Worth a listen. I think you'd enjoy it. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a call. Hi.
Hey guys, it's Nikki from Los Angeles, California, and it's 3 a.m., so if I sound tired or you think I'm drunk, I'm not. I'm just tired and crazy. Okay. So I'm calling in because I wanted to talk about the negativity connected to both of my parents, but mainly my dad. So I don't talk to my dad. I haven't spoken to him in a long while, and it's all for good reason. But basically, living with him was just weird. When he was married to my mom and, you know, living all together as a family at my mom's house, whenever he was mad, poltergeist activity would happen. Like doorknobs would rattle like violently, and then doors would slam violently, and you know, faces would appear in pictures, stuff like that. That's just like the best I could describe it. But basically, there was this one time when they were going through their messy, messy divorce, and I was sitting on the couch, and I was there to make sure that nothing happened, because my dad had a bad habit of trying to start stuff with my mom, but he would do it when she was alone, but if I were there, he wouldn't do it, of course. But basically, I was just there, just in case he tried. And when he closed the door, they had gotten to an argument earlier in the day. And when he was leaving to go to quote-unquote work, he had closed the door, but he closed it softly, didn't slam it or anything, closed it normally. And my mom had these sconces on the wall, and one of them just flew off, but I saw it from the corner of my eye, like, moving, but I was too fixated on him because I wanted to ask my mom what happened. I wanted to wait for him to close the door, but in the corner of my eye, I had saw the thing, the sconce, moving on the wall, and then when he closed it is when it just got thrown down, off of the wall, and it fell on one of my mom's coffee tables, and we both stood there and was like, what the heck, you know? And we're both wide-eyed and tripping out because we're like, well, did that just happen in front of our face, you know? And I get up and I told her it's probably broken now, and I grab it, and it was not broken, and that's a trippy thing about it. It didn't break, but it got thrown down really, really hard. And then when I looked at the wall to see if the, you know, I was like, oh, maybe the nail gave out, because, you know, you don't want to go towards, you know, paranormal right away. When I looked at the wall, the nail was still in the wall, and I felt it, and it was like in there, you know, it wasn't like loose or anything like that. So I hung it back up, and she looked at me, and she was like, you know, your dad's really negative. And I said, yeah. And, you know, stuff like that happened till he moved out. With my mom, it was more of like, she had a evil spirit attached to her, or negative, sad energy or spirit, something attached to her, because like, we had the worst luck. Like, we had very bad luck as a family. And I know that, like, you know, like, we could never catch a break, basically. And like, it's just weird, like, thinking back, but, you know, a lot of the stuff was just like really bizarre, really weird, really strange. And like, with her, it was just more of like creepy, like intentional stuff, you know, like it wasn't like the poltergeist stuff that was like in your face, you know, like with my dad. It was with my mom, it was more like you'd be having a normal day, and then next thing you knew, like, you know, your phone's missing, and you're like, wait, I just put it down on the table, and you're just like, okay, where is it? And you go and you look, and you're looking, and you can't find it, and then you just, you know, forget it, I'm just gonna call it, and you call it, and it's like on top of a Bible, you know. It's like stuff like that, or things found in a weird place and stuff like that. Like, it was just creepy stuff, whispers, name calling with her. I remember there was one day where I was out with my boyfriend, and my mom called me, and she's like, hey. And I'm like, what's up? She's like, where are you at? I'm like, I'm at the movies. And she's like, oh. And I was like, yeah, I'm leaving the movies, we're gonna go get food. Why, what's going on? She's like, so I don't know if I'm crazy, I'm losing my mind. I'm like, well, what happened? She's like, but I was in my room and I was watching TV, and I heard you laughing in the living room. So I got up, you know, to go see if maybe you forgot your key or something, and you were just laughing. But I there's nobody there, and I'm by myself. And I was like, what? And she was like, yeah. So that creeped me out, and she said that she would hear me a lot. And sometime, there's one time where she barged in on me in the shower, and I was like, what do you want? And she's like, when did you get in here? I'm like, I've been in here for like 30 minutes. And she's like, you weren't in the living room? You weren't? She's like, you weren't in the kitchen? I'm like, no. She's like, Okay, because I heard you laughing in the kitchen, and I'm like, no, that was not me. I don't know who that was. And it was just really weird. And, you know, it was just stuff like that. And ever since I moved out, you know, I have not experienced anything. And I believe that it was them, that it was her and that house. Because every house we moved into, it's just weird things would happen. Weird things. I can't even begin to tell you. But I believe that something was attached to both of them. And, you know, I haven't experienced anything. Like, I moved out, nothing. And the thing that I used to experience all the time, every day, every night when I'd go to bed, is somebody stroking my hair. Like, somebody would be just caressing my hair when I'd be going to sleep. And I haven't felt that since I moved out. And it's just crazy to think that it was connected to them. But that's my story. I can go in a lot more into a lot more detail, but we'd be here like all day, you know. But you know, I love you guys. You guys have just an awesome podcast, favorite podcast of all time. I've listened to you guys since the beginning. You know, this is like therapy for the paranormally tormented. You know, like, I was tormented as a kid with weird shit all the time, and this is just therapy, you know? I just gotta let it out, you know? Like, if you share it, cool. If not, I don't care, because I just gotta put it out there, you know? But thank you guys. Have a good night.
Playing a better variety of ghost stories for the Valley. We are Real Ghost Stories Online.
It's so weird when you think about the general term ghost story, because for somebody, the ghost story might be, you know, seeing their grandmother come back and smile from the corner of the room. And then you hear a story like this where it is a family ghost story, but the paranormal stuff is going on and people are alive. And, you know, it does sound like her father was creating some sort of poltergeist activity. Mm-hmm. Sounds like her mom probably had something attached to her, or at least if it was in the house in itself, was tormenting them in a very sinister way. I'm not saying that they were going to die with this stuff.
Yeah.
But certainly some very creepy, tricky things going on. When you hear that voice down the hall of the person you think is in the house, mm-hmm. and they're not home, There's some sinister, creepy crap going on there.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it makes me wonder a little bit, because when you hear a lot of ghost stories, or you hear not specifically ghost stories, but like end of life stories, where somebody's like they're calling out, they're seeing, you know, some loved one or not even a loved one, just family member there waiting to help them cross over. How often is it that the person's like, oh shit, I'm not gonna follow them because everything in life was like a fucking death trap. Like, yeah, I'm gonna follow, they're gonna probably lead me to hell. Is that where we get the earthbound spirits, where they're like, fuck you, Uncle Larry, you were a creepy motherfucker, God knows what the fuck you were doing back over there, I'm not following you into these heaven's gates that you're saying I'm gonna go to. And then you just end up being earthbound because you didn't latch on to the person who's supposed to take you back, because in life that person was a real dick.
Well, hopefully whoever's in charge of sending back the family members to come get you,
yeah,
are smart enough to know not to send Uncle Larry.
You get a good one. You're like, oh shit, like, wait a second, no. Yeah, when you died we all thought you were great, but then the DNA testing started coming out, it turned out you were the Fall River Killer, you motherfucker. Like, what the fuck was all that about? You raped like all these people behind a treehouse, and you were like the pastor of your church. Who the fuck are you? And you're taking me to heaven. Fuck off.
You know, this is a whole new podcast from the mind of Tony. I don't know where it comes from. I have no idea.
You got to be prepared. You got to be prepared for all the scenarios of what could happen. Because if that happens, you got to know what you're going to do. So
is that what you do in your downtime? You're just thinking of scenarios of how you're getting out of here when the time comes?
I've been always thinking of scenarios of how to get out of wherever I'm at. My entire life. It's always been like, how do I get out of this? How do I get out of that? That's just how my mind works. So there you go. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more. And help keep us on the air. Ghostpodcast.com to get signed up for all that. Until next time, for Todd, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.